What is going down, everyone? It's time for the Hype episode 216. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Brand new XR football drops today. Contenders Optic basketball as well. So we'll discuss those new releases. We're going to talk the Zion logo man was pulled, and I know every other card media outlet is talking about it, so you got to hear us talk about it too and our take on it as well, about what it might sell for. I've heard rumors of what it might sell for, which might absolutely blow your mind. We're also going to talk about the Honus Wagner damage card that might fetch more than you would think. So we got an exciting show, and best of all, we've got Cody back in the house. How's it going, Cody?
Hi, guys. Good to be back. Missed you guys.
Missed you, too.
Yeah, it's good to be back on the show. And a lot has happened in sports since we left. Stuff that, frankly, don't need to talk about. That happened in October, but happy to be back.
Well, that's what I was going to mention is, music is a soundtrack of our lives, and sometimes you can pop on a song, sure, and it'll take you back to high school or take you back to your first date or something like that. Mm-hmm. But since we're a sports card show, and you took the 2 months off, what sports memories, with your family will bring you back to that time?
Yeah. My son got to be indoctrinated into Giants heartbreak at a very early age. Yeah. The Wilmer Flores check swing, that wasn't. Yeah, good times. It was also, I should say, I hope I'm not embarrassing my wife with this, because my wife watched Giants baseball, but was not like fully invested until we were together, and that was, in the late 2000s, early 2010s, and so the only time she's ever experienced Giants playoffs, the Giants have won the World Series, or, there was one little hiccup there, but pretty much all she knows is success. And I will just say, I think I handled the loss a little better than she did. it's fine. Don't worry. This is how things used to go all the time. You think this is bad? This was worse. So, yeah, that was.
I know, and I'm so tired of the torture cliche that's been the decade of Giants baseball, but I guess that's the word for
that's
it.
That's what it was. That's most
actually,
definitely.
I mean,
what
it
was.
I know it didn't turn out the way we wanted it to, but I really enjoyed this season.
I did too.
I thought it was a great season. Yeah. We didn't win the World Series. We didn't get to the NLCS, but we weren't supposed to be there.
No.
We were not supposed to win 80 games, let alone 108. So. Yeah. I thought I actually had a blast watching Giants baseball.
And it could be worse for Bay Area. Sorry, C-Rad, to throw the A's under the bus. You could be looking at the Tropicana in Las Vegas to be moving to right now. So it could be worse if you're an A's fan.
Well, I was also going to say C-Rad's memory of these last 2 months are all the Raider headlines that unfortunately. That's just tough. I don't think any franchise has experienced all the stuff that the Raiders franchise has experienced. I think Derek Carr needs a hug, man. You see Derek Carr, give him a hug.
It's been tough sledding for Oakland fan out here.
Still in the mix, though. You're still in the mix. Still in the mix. And I know we're going to talk about some NFL quarterbacks coming up, but, the NFL in general this year, I feel like is the most competitive year that we've seen in many. There's not one clear-cut team that's going to run away with it. You can point to the Cardinals having a good record, but they've had some easy teams to play.
Packers
won some
look
easy
pretty
games.
Tough, man.
Yeah, but then the Packers they lost to the Vikings, right? And then the Niners lost to the Packers, but they beat the Vikings. And there's just a lot of the AFC West is all pretty much notched up. I mean, Patty seems to be getting his legs under him again, and is putting together a little bit of a run here, but. I think it's going to be an exciting time, and you throw in that extra, playoff team. I think we're going to see some madness come playoff time with football. It's shaping up to be a pretty good year.
Yeah, I mean, it was up until 3 weeks ago.
Oh, boy.
Your dreams crushed.
I know the Rams have been looking rough, bro.
Yeah, so we're talking about songs bringing you back in time. And it wasn't that long ago. It was just Sunday. But my most hated stadium song is in Green Bay, Lambeau. They play the Bang on the Drum All Day song every time the Packers score a touchdown. Heard it a lot. Heard it a lot that game.
The old 70s song?
I think it's 80s.
Yeah, not a fan of the great Todd Rundgren.
No, that song.
I enjoy his early stuff greatly.
If you're hanging out at Lambeau Field and you're on concrete and aluminum bench and it's like 18 degrees with a wind chill, and you've heard that song for the seventh time, Yeah, you're not in a good mood. That's
understandable.
I don't want to work.
Yep. I just want to bang on the drum all day. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. And do people hit the stands too? Or?
No, you can't. You're frozen. You can't move.
I was actually paid because I was watching that game along with the Niner game as well because they were on at the same time. And since you were there, I was taking more notice of some of the ambiance. It seemed like they were playing a lot of 90s alternative songs in that stadium, no?
It's too cold.
Couldn't tell.
Too cold. Couldn't tell. I sipped on a Coors Light for about three quarters because I didn't want to touch my beer because it was literally getting colder.
So the Rocky Mountains were
they were getting more blue as it was sitting there. It was getting great experience. I highly recommend everybody to check out Lambeau at least once in your life.
Yeah.
But wear more layers than somebody from California would do. Multiple pairs of gloves would be helpful. Something on your head, beanies. I think everybody had a beanie but me. No beanie. But yeah, you got to rock the layers.
And were you wearing sandals and shorts or?
No, but I mean, I had
You're not a short guy anymore.
Yeah, I wouldn't wear shorts. I wouldn't wear shorts and a flip-flops. I mean, yeah. I would tell you right now, those joggers that you wear with showing the ankles, ain't going to be wearing those either. No. Freeze your ankles right off.
Those would go under your jeans probably, actually. Like, yeah. More like a thermal.
The one thing I did notice is that I guess during football season, and we can move away from this after, but it's also hunting season. So people show up to the Green Bay game in their hunting outfit. Bright.
They just got finished hunting.
Yeah, bright orange, like, overall looking things. I mean, it looks very warm. I was jealous.
Maybe that's the thing. Maybe they weren't hunting. Maybe they just needed to be warm, and that was
maybe. But like, it is hunting gear.
Nice.
So yeah, but it's a great stadium. It's cold.
Nice. Well, we've got our Packpalooza guys on mojobreak.com. They'll be Cody will be opening those up on Tuesday. And we threw an extra little spin on this one. So there's 30 boxes made. There's some buyback hits. There's some rare packs, including cosmic packs. We've got some Panini Gold VIP packs. And one person that buys in is going to win a 03-04 Chrome pack as well. So a chance at the ever-elusive LeBron rookie card, Dwayne Wade rookie card, Carmelo rookie card, becoming one of the most iconic sets of all time. So it's coming from a sealed box. We're actually going to do more runs, and we're going to throw in those packs as well. You're guaranteed 4 to 5 packs a box. There's some great hits in there, including a Kobe rookie is in the run as well. Jump in on those. Those are going to be $3.39 on mojobreak.com, and we're going to give a free bonus pack if you buy by Monday, and those are going to be breaking on Tuesday. The last time we did the run, they sold out right away, so definitely jump in on Packpalooza, guys, and check out mojobreak.com, where we're going to be breaking all the latest stuff, including this brand new XR optic. We're still doing some Prism basketball, select football, national treasures we're doing. We got lots of stuff going on, and obviously check out mojobreakshop.com, where we're still having great deals. Even though Black Friday, Cyber Monday is done, prices are right around the same, so jump on there and get yourself a box. But let's jump into our first topic. We're going to talk about the new releases. We're going to talk about Contenders Optic and XR. And Contenders Optic basketball has quickly become, I feel like, a staple to the basketball hobby, moving up the ranks, I think, every year. What's your thoughts on Contenders Optic, C-Rad, and why do you love breaking it?
I mean, me personally, it is surprising to me. Like, this is really one of the most popular basketball products out there every single year. Ever since they released that, I think it was like the Luka year, right? The first year.
Mm-hmm.
And it just wildly popular. I mean, they've had it in football for a while now, but first year basketball, like starting from 18-19, it's just been, people love it, you know. And me, and obviously it's a super nice product. I'm kind of still more old school. I do like prefer the regular Contender stuff over the Contenders Optic, but it makes sense why people like the Contenders Optic so much. It's Contenders with that shiny.
See, and I'm different. I like, when it comes to football, I prefer regular Contenders over Contenders Optic. But for basketball, I prefer the Contenders Optic over the Contenders. Just the shininess. It's a quick, you know, one auto pack. You got the numbered cards. I think they have the Black Pandoras this year, too, which is a nice new addition. That nice little square black card, which I actually thought was a 101, but they're not numbered. But still really cool. Dan, what do you remember about breaking these two products? And now, what do you like the best?
I actually, I'm kind of with you guys. I view Contenders Optic of more of a basketball line than I do a football line, even though it came out for football before. Mm-hmm. With football, like Doug, I prefer the Contenders flagship. I always have. I think I'm a dinosaur. I'm like, I'm old school. I love those autographs. Also love Optic. But I don't love when you combine it in football. Love it in basketball, though.
Yeah, I agree. Shininess for basketball is definitely key. And, Edwards and LaMelo are on fire right now, right? So,
hot.
I mean,
super hot.
You know, this should definitely carry that product. And like I said, and we're going to get into the maybe the disappointing rookie class, maybe too early to tell. But thank God that we still have LaMelo and Edwards new products coming out, new rookie cards coming out of these guys, because I think that's what everybody wants right now, you know. But Contenders Optic, we're going to be breaking that on mojobreak.com, PYTs and random cases, probably throughout the weekend at least, and maybe into next week. I know Mosaic Basketball comes out too, so you're getting your full shiny feel this week with basketball. So expect a lot of people jumping back in, getting into these breaks, posting these hits on Instagram and all their social media channels. And XR Football, it was one that I used to kind of not necessarily be a big fan of. I felt like it was one that it didn't really have a place.
It felt like an unnecessary product. And I remember the first couple of years it came out, we were like, man, like why with this product? Like, it to me, it's very similar to Absolute. It has a lot of the same memorabilia pieces that you get out of Absolute. But I think it was like, what, 2018? Just the content,
it flipped,
it went through the roof, and it became one of those staple products to come out right in the middle of the season.
Yeah, one thing to consider with XR is that you're guaranteed a 101 in each case. It's a 14-box case, but you're guaranteed a 101. Now, some may say, XR, there's too many 101s. What do you guys say to that? Is there too many one? Can you have too many 101s in a product?
I think the too many 101s argument has been around since, you know, forever. And, guaranteeing a 101, and oftentimes you get more than one 101. Oftentimes you'll get at least two, one of them being a printing plate in every case of XR. So for the majority of people, I would say the thrill of being able to pull a easier chance of getting a 1-of-1, that's always fun. That's always nice, right? But yeah, this is not like a big production. Not big production, but how do I say it? Like, they don't make a ton of XR, right? So it is a lot of 1-of-1s that you're going to be getting from this product, but I don't see a problem with it.
Can there be too many 1-of-1s, Dan?
Yes, but that's a topic for that can be a show just on its own. Like, that we can sit here and talk about that forever. What I will say is that they do put a lot of shields in here, and an XR shield, even though it's a 1-of-1, is not going to stand up to on the secondary market to like an NT shield or an Immaculate shield or something like that. This is not that type of product. This is definitely a substantial step below that product. This is what we would consider like a low to mid tier product.
Yeah, and it just reminded me, I was talking to somebody about this, and I know there's always been some people complaining, and this is specifically for football, about the rookie jerseys, right? People say, like, they pull them in order. You probably won't see them as much in XR, but, like, when you pull a card and it's Mac Jones and it has a K, obviously Mac Jones doesn't have a K in his name, those are rookie jerseys, and I know people complain about those. And I actually got some more intel on that. I was talking to somebody about why they have those jerseys. So Nike, those are actually game-cut jerseys. So Nike will not make a run of like 20 or 30 of those for Panini. So those are made well in advance. They're not the jerseys that you and me and all of us would buy at the store. They are the ones that are fit. So they can't sell those jerseys. So that is the reason why they make them ahead of time. They're made as 88s because that makes the best patches. And they are rookie. It says rookie on the back. So they won't like, oh, Mac Jones has been drafted, we got to make 20 Mac Jones. They won't do that.
Yeah.
And that is the reason why you see patches with, if it's another, to go back to Mac Jones, he's number 10. You'll see a Mac Jones patch with 8. Well, it's because he wore 88 when they had him do the photo shoot. So, and I know there's been a lot of collectors that aren't informed, and then they're just thinking Panini's pulling the wool over people's eyes. Well, it's really hard for them to get the jerseys from the NFL, especially being pro-cut uniform jerseys, and to have it have the right name and number on there in time for Panini to make the cards. So that's just a little food for thought for you guys out there before you start saying, I can't believe this 101 has a K or an O, and why is he wearing 88? And that's the reason why. So just
you want more patches. You want more prime patches. You want more everything, right? They have to be creative and figure out a way to do it. Well, but you're telling me I can't go to a team store and get a number 88 with a rookie on the back?
No, you can't. I mean,
I've always wanted that jersey.
Well, my whole thought was player
can never get traded.
I could see the 88, but I didn't know why they had the rookie on it. But the reason why is because they make the pro style uniforms. They don't sell the pro style uniforms at the team stores. So these are made before the draft.
I mean, I guess the only thing that you can do is just not put a nameplate on it. But then you don't get those nameplate relics.
Correct.
So it would just be another, and then you would get like, well, just another single color relic. I can't get any prime patches.
Yep.
So, you know, we've seen a lot of things like over the years. I mean, they have those jackets that they put on that have all the logos.
I haven't seen that as much anymore.
I haven't seen it. I forgot what product it was in that you can tell.
Immaculate.
You can tell that like 100% that's not a, like a patch on a jersey.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like, they also do it with the hats and stuff like that.
Yeah, they absolutely do it. Yeah, I know people complain about hat logo bans too. Now I know Cody, you just came back, but I know you've been paying attention to the hobby and sports. What do you feel? What do you think's got more hype? I know the name of the show is hype. Is football hobby more hype than basketball, or is basketball more hype than football at this point?
I guess football, but I feel like now that's kind of changing because the rookie class is just kind of, you know, it's not quite what we had expected. I think a lot of people had a lot of hope for this rookie class. And Mac Jones, I know, is just balling out right now and looks amazing and looks like he's playing the part of the next big thing. And I know we're going to talk about it here in a little bit. But the basketball class, I think you guys have been saying it. Like, it's a good thing that there's still some 2021 products around because I don't think anyone has really broken out quite yet. But I think I'll still say football, even because, as well, I think a lot of guys from last year's rookie class, Herbert still looks like, I mean, he's had some ups and downs, but I think there's still a lot of people who believe in Herbert. Joe Burrow and the Bengals look like they're for real. Yeah. Jonathan Taylor. Yeah, exactly. There's still a lot of guys from last year's class who are having really big sophomore campaigns that I think that's going to carry football, the hype for football, I think, a little more, whereas I could see basketball, unless in the next month, Jalen Green, Cade Cunningham have a big, big month, I think football's still going to carry the torch here for a little while longer.
I think with football, we set the bar so high going into the season. 5 rookie quarterbacks, first round.
Probably too high.
Yeah, we set it too high. Our expectations were way too high for how these players were going to perform their rookie year. There's growing pains. Trevor Lawrence, at times he's looked good, but he is, I say it all the time, he was the first overall pick for a reason, and the Jags had that pick for a reason. They were not a quarterback away from being a Super Bowl contender. They would have won more games the previous year if they were.
Yeah.
And you kind of had that down the line with the exception of the Patriots where, I mean, Belichick, you can just throw. He knew what he was getting, and he already had an idea of what game plan he was going to be able to put in with Mac Jones. Still feel that Mac Jones is the most pro-ready quarterback in the draft, and he's proven me right. So,
what do you think? More hype for basketball or more hype for football right now, C-Red?
Definitely football. I noticed football, with us saying that, obviously this current draft class that we're in with Trevor Lawrence, they're a majority of them are not living up to the hype or, you know, not getting any playing time like Trey Lance. Even with that said, these products are like flying off the shelf.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we can't keep this stuff in stock at all. So football for me definitely is the hotter product right now. Even counting LaMelo and Anthony Edwards rookie year stuff still coming out. I just noticed the the excitement for football there is probably there just a little bit more than basketball is currently.
Yeah, and I would love to dispute that, but I'm on the same page as well. I think that it's kind of funny because I think basketball 1920 kind of set the precedent of where the prices already start at, mm-hmm. and I think you've seen that follow in from 2021. So you're seeing these prices that are really high. Now, I think football is getting to that point, but it's not quite there, so I think you have a little bit more value when it comes to football case breaks, whether it be XR or Contenders or, you know, Origins or whatever. You know, these boxes aren't $900 like Mosaic or $1,000 like Mosaic. Like, they're $300 to $400, and they have 2-3 hits. And I think with basketball, you're getting maybe one auto sometimes for $900. It's exactly. All about the parallels. Mm-hmm. So I think there's obviously it's football season, and we're right in the middle of it. And, you know, a lot of breakers like ourselves have 2020 product and have the 2021. So we're kind of been able to do both years, in a sense, to kind of bring value to that. You know, you can chase Burrow, Herbert, and Lawrence in the same break or same mixer or whatever we're doing. So I think the best two, yeah. So I think, you know, the hype on football right now is
well, also hot. We're still on, like, the collegiate releases of basketball.
Yeah.
And I actually just did a pre-order solicitation for Prism Draft Collegiate.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we haven't even got into the point where I'm getting solicitations.
Yes. Next year is going to be interesting.
For the new crop of rookies with their NBA, like, logos on them.
Yeah. It's going to – I'm wondering at some point, you know, because they're going to have to try to catch up. Are they going to just start, like, having three releases in a week of the same sport? Basketball?
Yeah, I mean, because we got to be looking – we may not see, January, February?
Hoops in February.
Yeah, but that might be the first, like, licensed NBA rookie card.
That usually comes on in October.
Because we're usually already done with Flawless at this point, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
it's
usually, like, Flawless and Hoops comes out, like, the new year of Hoops, right, comes out when Flawless.
Right before Flawless comes out.
So right around the same time.
So we've had, so far in the 21-22 collegiate releases, we've had Chronicles Contenders Draft.
No.
No?
Nope.
And Flawless?
I think they previewed it, but I don't think
it's... Flawless, I think, has been...
I think it's either National Treasures Collegiate or Flawless. One of the
Immaculate Collegiate came out online 2 weeks ago.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like we're falling even more behind.
Way behind in terms of the regular schedule that we're used to.
Because, yeah, we would have been already at some NBA like... products coming out.
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of factors, obviously shipping issues and, you know, still catching up from the years for the pandemic. And I just said that word. Darn it. Pandy. God dang it.
I mean, yeah, every industry is dealing with it. Our industry is dealing with it. You know what I mean? Like, I just got an email that AEW wrestling got pushed back again by Upper Deck. That doesn't come up till December 31st or something like that. Yeah. And I was like, dang, that was one I was looking forward
to. Actually, I saw that. I think it's in January.
Now it's in January.
I think it's in January. So, I don't know if they're going to release it on New Year's Eve.
Industry-wide, we've been dealing with it. So next year, that's why I say next year, hopefully some of the production can catch up. But it's going to be interesting because it really is going to almost be like a blending of almost three draft classes if they're not.
I mean, do you think it's at the point where, like, maybe there's too many releases? Maybe there's just not enough time in the year to get...
There will be at some point, but like today, I was like happy that we had two releases.
Right,
because we haven't really had weeks where we've had many releases.
That's what I was going to say. There's been a lot of times this year where I've felt a lull. Like where previous years, there was a release schedule where you have something, at least one thing coming out every week, right?
Well, we have three this week.
Three this week.
And two of them are basketball.
Yeah. And which is rare this year, because I felt like at certain points this year, I've come into a week and like, okay, what comes out this week? Oh, nothing. Sweet. Let's see what we got.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's also Mosaic and Contenders Optic,
which is pretty rare.
Which are pretty, pretty like,
got to put them
in the top 10 for releases, right? Both those?
Yeah.
And so you see in this slide here, we're talking about 2021. Could it be the year of the rookie letdown? And I think something that just – and we have a picture of Alec Baum there, who did have a decent season. I think India won the rookie of the year. But I was just kind of thinking – I think I had a thought when it comes to baseball is that the no minor league, you know, the year before kind of got these guys like they fell a little bit behind in performance, you know, like Joe Adell and And I mean, Ryan Mountcastle had a good year, but there was a lot of rookies that didn't like live up to the expectation. And I wonder if that has anything to do with the fact that they weren't able to play for a year. What are your thoughts on that, Cody?
I was going to say with the baseball stuff, I think part of it, and I think you're kind of seeing it in football, is that there were so many guys because of, like you said, with the shorter season in 2020, and then the guys were suddenly rookies that I don't think they were expecting to be rookies. So there were a ton of guys like Baum and Dylan Carlson, Joey Bart, Joe Adell, all these guys that were really hyped. And either a lot of those guys were going to see more minor league time because they got rushed to the major leagues because it was a weird year in 2020. Mm-hmm. And just frankly, yeah, guys underperforming. I mean, I threw Alec Boehm up there. He kind of got better as the year went on, but definitely a disappointing year. And at the same time, they were holding back Wander Franco, which is probably very smart on Topps' part.
Yes.
When those releases come out, especially with the new 11-year extension he just signed, yes. I mean, he's going to be probably the hottest baseball rookie to collect in a long time.
Did his extension outdo Tatis's?
No, not in terms of money, but it is the longest contract in Rays history by, like, basically doubled the longest contract in their history.
13 years? 11 years?
I think it ends up being – it was an 11-year extension, but it might not – I'm not sure exactly when it kicks in. Somebody in the comments can tell me how much was it? I think it ended up being $223 million for 11 years.
That's got to be the biggest extension for the fewest amount of games played in the history of MLB,
it's,
right?
Yeah, Ronald Acuna Jr. was up there, but he beat Acuna's contract by 123.
It makes Acuna's contract look like a steal by the Braves.
Bargain of the century.
It almost feels like I'm trying, you know, to take it back to card terms. It's like, I'm going to sell you a logo, man. I'm not going to tell you what logo, man, it's going to be, and you're going to give me $212,000 for it, you know, or whatever it's going to be. You know, like, I know we've seen a little bit of Wander, and I know he's been the number one prospect, but, you know, just to give that much money up, like, without, like, seeing the longevity, having him play a full season, to see how he can deal with a slump, you know, I know with the new agreements that are coming out and everybody's trying to sign people and lock people up early, I get it from a business aspect, but I just feel like it's literally, like, sight unseen. Throwing money towards this guy, but that will help the hobby and series one. I mean, get ready for it. If he's going to have a rookie card in there, that's going to be a huge come March or February, whenever it comes, April or March, whenever Topps 2022 series one comes out. And that's going to be that flagship Wander rookie. Get ready for it. It's going to be bigger than any probably 2021 release that we've had and should carry on through the season. And I know first Bowmans are obviously the ones you want, but products like Topps Chrome or products like Chrome Black, all this stuff that's going to possibly have these Wanders in there are going to be bumped up.
All that money, though, to be the face of the Montreal Rays down the road. thrown out there.
I actually think it's a no-brainer for the organizations to take that. You actually see what some of these, like the Corey Seagers, are getting paid, right? $330 million. You lock up Franco for 223 or whatever for 11 years, you're always, with the way the salaries are going up and how much they're going up every year, you're always going to be able to get out of that. You're going to find the Red Sox, Dodgers, Yankees, big market team, Cubs that are going to take that contract on. Especially, you have very little risk because he is such a young player. So I think we're going to see more of that. It really started with the Braves did it with, was it Pache?
Albies, and Acuna.
That's right.
And the Albies contract now is one of the worst looking contracts from a player perspective.
Yeah, they should have gotten
triple what he did.
Yeah, they did it with Albies and they did it with Acuna. The Tatis one, he had been in a league.
But he's still only about a year and a half. I don't think he had played a full season. Like, he had maybe collectively played a full season of games, but I don't think it was a full season at that time.
No,
anyway, that he had signed it.
Yeah, I mean, I think from an organizational standpoint, like, you're good. I mean, I like those deals, especially if it's a young player, because again, like, in 5, 6, 7 years, if Franco was a free agent, Rays aren't going to be able to sign him for maybe $500 million at that point, the way the salaries have been going up.
See, I mean, I hope the thing that I hope doesn't, you know, affect is the fact that, you know, you give somebody young that much money and they don't play up
unmotivated.
You know, they're unmotivated.
Well, especially
right?
when you're not going to be a free agent for 12 years.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I'm going to mail this one in. I mean, I don't know enough about him to know if he's going to be that kind of player.
You would think the organization has done their due diligence when it comes to that, right? Like this guy. They see him work out. Hopefully, they're not like he puts in the. He obviously has to put in the work.
Tatis signed his deal, and I mean, look, he got hurt, and there was some ups and downs defensively. But I mean, is there any argument that he is probably the best, if not one of the three best shortstops?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely was worth the money last year for sure. Now that makes the obviously Wander Franco the face of the Rays, which makes me think that, nobody's really sold on the Rays, minus maybe Evan Longoria for a little bit of a period of time. Can he maybe be the guy that bucks the trend that Bowman collectors don't want Rays cards? Can this maybe usher in a new era of, like, I want Rays cards now because the number one prospect and then the highest paid guy in the league or whatever. He's not the highest paid guy in the league.
If he's putting up stats and they're winning games and they go to a World Series or maybe even win a World Series, that's all that matters.
And I even think that, like, the era of, like, oh, it matters where you play is starting to come to an end. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is on the Jaguars. He plays in Jacksonville, and I don't think people care. Like, for baseball, I mean, San Diego was never really a hotbed of, like, oh, you got to play there, and Tatis sells perfectly fine.
I think football has always been a little bit less than baseball. Baseball, it's like, especially because when Bowman comes out, you learn nothing about these guys, right? So you're like, I'm collecting a Yankee prospect, Dodgers, Red Sox prospect.
Yeah, hell, LaMelo and Anthony Edwards. I mean, they play Charlotte and Minnesota.
True, right. True, very true.
No one seems to care.
Yeah, no one seems to care, exactly. And then, one thing I did notice, and we have Trevor Lawrence on this image as well, watching, I was watching him in the red zone. Unfortunately, he's not really on the red zone much, but I did watch him play my Niners, and I watched that entire game. And I will say this, that he doesn't look frazzled at any point. Doesn't look frustrated. I think he scored that touchdown late against the Niners, and he was on the side hugging Urban Meyer. And then Urban Meyer tried to put the hands in the pan. He said, no. We're not in Ohio. No, I'm just kidding. But he looked very calm. He looked very collected and calm and not frazzled. So
he's gonna be good, dude. He's gonna be good.
That got weird.
It just dawned on me what you were talking about. Okay, moving on.
Yeah, I was the same way. And I'm like, wait a sec. I'm like, oh, that, yeah, that's.
I just slipped it in there.
That's weird.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was a joke. That didn't actually happen.
No.
Yeah.
No. It was an Urban Meyer joke. Sorry. I know it happened months ago, and it's old news.
That was the best Halloween costume, dude.
Because Urban Meyer had the news come out, and then John Gruden's like, hold my beer. And then
he's actually
talking about Urban Meyer anymore.
Doug saved that one for you for, like, 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's just like,
I appreciate
it. He's all the first
you.
Hype with Cody's back. I'm going to roll that one
let
out.
Let that one cook for 2 months.
I know. I should just be talking about stuff from, like, 2 or 3 months ago. And nobody knows what I'm talking about anymore because it's old news. We have such a low attention span on news these days. So, but and then we've got the guy on the Magic. What do you think about the rookie class right now? Do you think it's a letdown? Is it not enough to see yet? Are we dealing with the same thing that we're dealing with these guys? Maybe didn't have a chance to play for a year, and they need to be seasoned. What are your thoughts on the upcoming or the current basketball rookie class?
I think we are obviously dealing with a class that doesn't have anybody named Zion Williamson, right? Not only that, some of these kids are performing actually decently. It's just they're having a normal rookie. A lot of them are having normal rookie seasons, which is to say, like, they're trying to help their teams, but they're not really doing much. You know, they are getting some playing time, but they're not really helping teams win. So I think as the season progresses, we'll start to see some of these kids, like, stand out a little bit more, the better ones in this draft class. Well, I think we're going to start to see them stand out a little bit more. And unfortunately, like, the top guys, they're just on, like, really bad teams.
Yeah.
And they're just going to end up – I think the Rockets are projected to lose the most amount of games of any team in NBA history, the exact opposite of the Golden State Warriors. And I think also with this NBA season, there's some big – there's a lot of big storylines, and the rookies all the rookies have nothing to do with any of the big storylines.
The one storyline that came into play, and I was like, don't hit Cade, Isaiah Stewart, because Cade was in there during the LeBron moment, and Cade was trying to get in there and hold back a guy that was probably about 200 pounds more than him and much bigger than Cade Cunningham. And I'm like, that's the guy. That's our guy. That's our rookie guy. Let's not – Well, just leave him alone, please. Just Arcade, go back to the bench, buddy. Just let Isaiah Stewart run around.
Yeah, I think just in general, there's a lot of bigger NBA stories right now. And the rookies are just kind of like not even kind of afterthoughts right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I think in general, if you look at some of them, they're actually playing pretty decently. Like the Cavaliers rookie, I talked about him before. And in previous years, I would say they're on par with the maybe I compared them before, but maybe like the 15-16 draft, maybe 16-17 draft class. Where like they were good, but like they weren't like super hyped either.
Yeah, I mean, we were due for a rookie class that didn't have a Luka, Trae Young, Zion, Ja Morant, and I agree. I mean, there's going to be players that are going to pop and be the best player on their team, and those teams might actually be good, but that could be 2 to 3, 4 years down the road. Then you're going to have a scramble of everybody trying to swoop up that old product.
Mm-hmm. There's this season, I think, there's going to be rookies. Specifically, I'm talking about the Cavaliers rookie again. The Cavaliers will probably make the play-in game at least, if not make the playoffs in the East. And he's going to be a big part of it because he's actually one of their leading scorers and defensive players right now.
It's Kevin Porter Jr. He's doing pretty well over there, right?
No, he's in Houston.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. Who's the other guy that's doing well?
Darius Garland.
That's right.
Colin Sexton.
So you're telling me Kevin Porter Jr. is not doing well in Houston, because that doesn't sound like nobody is doing well.
They're breaking the wrong kind of record.
Jalen Green has been—he's been trying, bro. But he's been
all we need.
Breaking.
You know what helps any NBA player is just dunk on somebody with your balls in their face, and it just—that's all you need. And then all of a sudden, everybody wants their cards. It's like just posterized him.
Turned Anthony Edwards' season around.
Yeah. That's all.
Now he also had a really, really good second half, and he seems to be picking up where he left off.
But if you just like do the most strongest dunk in somebody's face, or have a wrapper on your card, your cards will sell well. That's what we need.
Back to back segments that were just 100% inappropriate.
Yeah, I want to ask you guys, because you guys have been around this longer than I have. Obviously, like, is this in a weird way having kind of a lull, or like maybe a disappointing rookie class, or like a rookie class that's going to take a couple of years?
It's good.
I was gonna say, is that something that's good?
Well, it's good just to. It needs to cool down a little bit. Like, we need to, every industry has to have it, or every category needs to have its peaks and valleys, right? We've been at, like, just such a steep incline. We need a little mellow period where the products will LaMelo period, where the products will, like, chill out a little bit. They're not going to be, 6, 7, 8 times what they were, 3, 4 years ago. And be readily available. I mean, that's how group breaks really started. The product was readily available, and group breakers were trying to pull out a little bit of margin, because if you were going to sell the box, you were going to sell it for a 5% margin. Mm-hmm. If you're going to compete with, the other online retailers.
Yeah, I mean, and I've been hearing the retail hype, with the bots and stuff, and I think it also has something to do with, obviously we sell mostly hobby boxes, and our breaks are mostly all hobby boxes as well. So that this part doesn't really affect what we do. But a lot of the more retail is becoming available, and a lot of the guys that were kind of making a side hustle of flipping it. And I know one person probably thinks I'm talking about them. I'm not. I'm talking about it in general, because I'm seeing it all over.
But you did point at him.
I did point at him.
You did point directly at him.
Right there. You're in the camera. You're like a mini-me in the camera. Little mini person right now. I've seen so many more people having inventory. Like, more posts of like, I have 175 blasters of Absolute, or I have 350 blasters of Absolute. So you're seeing those prices that were normally like people were doubling and tripling on the retail coming back closer to what retail price is. So that's a sign of not only maybe less hype, but a little bit more overproduction on that stuff too. So, which in a sense I'm trying to say is a good thing, because it's going to kind of get rid of some of that and get down to where we know what true values are and they're not overinflated. I think that's kind of what you were getting to, is that stuff becomes overinflated and players that maybe are the sixth or seventh best player sell for more than they should because there's so much going. Like, you can't afford a LaMelo, you can't afford an Edwards, you can't afford that. So let's talk about the Thunder rookie, Pokuševski. Let's make sure let's all hype him up and
Dumbuya.
Try to sell him. Yeah, I mean, there's guys that shouldn't sell well, and they do because there's so much hype surrounding it. And not saying that,
or if you're buying a blaster for $250, like, you better believe some of those, like, every rookie should be getting you like $10, $20, $30.
Yep.
It's just based on the price of admission to get in, right?
Yep, absolutely. And we're going to announce the winner for the giveaway from last week. I think Cody has the giveaway winner on his sheet there.
Yep, the winner for last week, which I believe the question was the artist, musical artist,
yes,
that you think should start getting
the
card set.
Yep.
James Bumanlag, you are the winner. He suggested BTS, which kind of feels like the biggest slam dunk. Like,
good
that
choice.
Would be insane. A BTS collection of any kind, whether it be digital or
yep,
hard copy of it, would be about as big as anything in the hobby right now.
I agree. Yeah, so contact us through the website, mojobreak.com, for your $150 gift card. This week's giveaway, I want to know which NBA rookie, not the LaMelo year, but the 21-22 that we were just talking about, which rookie are you buying currently? Maybe there's some that are under the radar, and then we can look back on your comments. So make sure you comment here on Mojo Break Media YouTube. We can look back and be like, man, that person called it. Like, he called, like, Donovan Mitchell, right? Nobody knew about Donovan Mitchell. He's drafted, like, late 20th, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's huge now. So maybe somebody calls that. So we're going to do that. Write that in there on the comments below, and somebody else is going to win a $150 gift card. I did want to show a quick short. We did a great Mojo Sessions with Evan Vandenberg of Dibs.io, and there's a way to get a free frack pack, and you're like, what's a frack pack? Well, you got to watch the video, but here's a short from the interview with Evan Vandenberg. Just to kind of explain it in layman, so say I buy $200 on a Luka Prism PSA 10, right? And I'm like, you know what, Luka had a big game, looks like the market went up, am I able to just sell that right away, or is there like limitations on that?
No. So it's, you know, again, the limitations would be like the orders, right? I mean, is there a buyer and a seller on the other side? You know, there's an AMM kind of algorithmic liquidity pool there that's just math based, but it helps. But no, to answer your question, it's 24/7 live, right? When we kick something into a real market, it's peer to peer. So you can go ahead and like, yeah, Luka's having a great quarter, I'm buying in on Luka, or you think he's, you know, on pace to be MVP, and you have some moment of epiphany about, you know, whoever it may be, right? And we've got a pretty wide selection of players, right? It's not just the top 10 guys and girls. So yeah, no, to answer your question, it's real time.
All right, guys. Well, check out that video here on Mojo Break Media. It's also on all of your iTunes, Spotify. You can download the audio version, or you can watch the video version on YouTube and get your code. Get your code to get your free stuff. There's free stuff in that video, so definitely check that out. Very fascinating way of combining real cards with a blockchain NFT technology. It's very, very fascinating. And Evan is not only a Warrior fan, but he's a great interview as well, so check that out. But wanted to get into this, and like I said, every media outlet's been talking about it, and I'm sure we're the last ones to talk about it, but the Zion logo man was pulled, the logo man auto, and it was pulled in China for a customer. And I've heard rumors, and this is crazy talk, that the guy got offered over $2 million and he said no.
He's man, China on. Always getting the best cards.
I haven't heard that before.
All the great cards go overseas.
This is one of the most used phrases in the hobby since like 2010, dude.
Yep.
If you've been around that long, you know people early 2010s said that.
That card lasted a long time.
It did.
It was
absolutely.
I think about how much NT was ripped.
and I'll say this too, because every like 3-4 months in the chat room, I'll get somebody asking me like, "Has anybody heard, like, anytime we would rip NT, anybody heard of the Zion logo?" I was like, "Bro, listen to me. If the Zion logo man has been pulled, everybody you know will be talking about it and you will know that it has been pulled.
There's always those people that are like, well, maybe he pulled it on, it was on, it, somebody pulled it and they're not saying anything.
No, this type of card, as we've seen, everybody was talking about this card this week and their moms.
And, so. Yeah, exactly. I mean, and it was almost, that's how I was playing off a lot of the other media outlets that were like, well, everybody's saying it, we got to say it too. But it is a big moment because this was kind of like the jumping off point. I mean, I know the Luka year was hot and obviously then, but this was like a whole other level. We were talking about Zion during the Luka Trey year.
Yeah.
And, you know, this was the, obviously the dream card, and it is the best card you can own of Zion forever. There will never be a better card to own than this card of Zion. So my question to you guys is with that
I'm taking it.
You're taking the $2 million.
I'm taking whatever. Actually, I didn't even know if you were gonna say $2 million. I would have sold it for $1 million.
I probably would sell it for
I don't know if it's hard because you can do one or two. You can hold on to it, and when he comes back, you could wait for him to have a couple really good games and you can move it. But there is a huge uncertainty with what Zion is gonna do. I'm selling it. I think the safe bet is to sell it for 100% $2 million. I'd take $1 million.
$750?
No, I'm not.
That's too low.
Yeah, go on a discount rack.
I'd keep it. I'd just take my chances.
Jeez.
No, but I mean, $2 million. I thought you said it was close to $3 million.
I've heard it's between that amount. Now
it's between two and three.
This is second, third hand. So I don't have a source.
So
for
it
this.
Probably started at $1 million. Then somebody was like,
"It's a tall tale."
$2 million. Yeah. Now it's at $3 million. Like in like 2 weeks, we'll see. We'll be like, "Oh, the Zion." I heard the person got a $13 million offer and he turned it down.
It's $25 million.
$25 million. He offered him $1 billion. $1 billion.
Jeff Bezos offered him Amazon, and he said, "No, I'm keeping it. I'm not going to take Amazon for my logo, man. Come on now."
But I think everybody, if somebody offers you over $1 million, you got to take it, right?
Yeah. Hey, here's actually a side contest. All right, a side contest. I don't know. We got to figure out what we're going to give away, but I want people to
give away a Zion logo, man.
I want people to show, like, go to your non collecting card friends and show them this and just say, like, somebody was offered $2 million for this card.
Or
just tell us on the comments below what their reaction
or was. Just say, hey, like, how much do you think this card's worth?
Yes. That, or you could do it with that. You could take that.
How much do you think this card's worth?
Because people will, you may lose friends. I mean, people might think you're just absolutely crazy.
They're like, I bet you get a lot of, like, I don't know, like $300.
Yeah. Or you'll probably get a lot of, who's that? I don't never, that guy? Yeah, the guy that blew out the shoe, right? Yeah, that guy.
Let me ask you guys a question, because at this point, we've been in this crazy rapid growth in the hobby, and we've seen multiple handful of cards, over a handful of cards now go for over $1 million, right? In the last year, 2 years. Do you think a lot of people now, because they start to see it in the news, they see it on ESPN, they see it on regular news channels, like about the LeBrons and like the $1 million cards and, you know, Honus Wagner and all this stuff. Is $2 million a lot now for a card?
For that card, it is.
$2 million is a lot of money. Yes, it's a lot of money for even if you're in the card game.
I mean,
a lot of money.
You see NFTs. There. I mean, NFTs sold for like $60
million.
NFTs
are like
silly.
Breaking records every single day.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm out on Zion. I don't want to buy Zion anymore. I don't think he'll have a great career. That's me personally.
Ooh. Oh yes,
my hot take. You're go ahead and throw the hate below.
I think a lot of people. I think a lot of people follow your thinking. I feel like I'm in the minority. Saying that I would still be buying.
But
Zion
before you guys chime in on that, I did want to comment that I think this card is larger than the player's performance. It almost doesn't matter what he does because of the iconicness of the moment of
what
it means in sports card history.
Yes,
and I don't think it matters in that regard. But in my opinion, I don't think Zion will ever be a top 100 player. I just look at the top 10, and he doesn't fit with what he does. He is very dominant, but now he's had multiple injury issues. He's on the Pelicans. He probably needs to get out of there. That's just my take on him. But you guys go ahead.
At what point are we going to get to where a single card sells for more than that player makes in a year? Because if you actually collectively take all the Zion cards and how much they've sold for, that's definitely worth way more than what Zion gets paid.
Yeah. It's probably more than or pretty close to what Panini made in the entire product run,
yeah.
Profit-wise.
Yeah, but I'm just – there's going to be one of these guys who's going to be like maybe, you know, 22nd pick, 25th pick, doesn't make a ton of money, and he's going to have a card that sells for like $3 million.
Yeah. Or you get like a guy like a Russell Wilson on a like a fifth or sixth round draft pick wins a Super Bowl and his card outsells what his salary
Absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely. We are 100%. We're going to get to that point. That is, it may have already happened.
I was going
to
say maybe one of the Patrick Mahomes cards.
Yeah.
Possibly during, before he signed. When did he sign that his extension? That was what? 2 years?
Yeah. I feel like that was only a year ago.
Okay.
It
yeah.
It was a year ago. So
it's possible right after the Super Bowl, there might have been a Patrick Mahomes card that sold more than his salary.
He was a first rounder.
Yeah.
So he was slotted at probably, right, 4 or 5 million, 6 million, or something like that.
Okay, fair enough. Then maybe
I think Doug is right though. That quarterback like Dak Prescott, that quarterback like Russell Wilson, that third round, fourth round, even fifth round, Kirk Cousins, something like that. Those guys like can have cards that actually outperform their salary.
And you know, and not to completely flip the subject, but I wanted to add on to this because you know you have Fanatics coming in and they're doing the profit sharing with the players. This kind of stuff might have helped that happen because I don't know how much players get paid for an auto, but I know it's not more than $200. It's probably not more than $200 on a rookie deal, even if you're the number one pick. You're not getting more than $200 an auto. So Zion probably got paid $200 or less to sign that card, and then he sees the card could possibly be worth $2 million. That's when these players are like, well, that how do I only get this much? You know, one would think, right? So then Fanatics comes in, and they're like, well, we're going to give you a portion of what we sell it for. So then they're like, oh, okay. So, I mean, and I don't think Panini and Topps had a chance to really catch up to that mentality.
No way.
Because it happened so quickly.
That was their little trick in the bag that Fanatics had that the leagues was like, we can't turn this down, bro, to get profit sharing.
Profit sharing. So, I mean,
Are they going to know exactly – how are they going to base that on a secondary market?
Well, if they sell the cards on the secondary market,
that's true.
Well, so, I think that in general, the athletes, the players, the associations, they're all just going to be happy because they get a chunk of just the initial sale at first anyways,
right.
Too.
Exactly. So, what do you think, Cody? You selling that card for that price?
$2 million?
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably will.
I'm not selling, man. You guys
you're
crazy.
Not.
I like Zion. I want to say that picture in the slide, if you're watching us, there's been all this talk of like, oh, Zion's getting fat. Zion's out of shape. He looks fine right there.
Was that yesterday?
Like, it kind of reminds me when everyone's like, man, James Harden looks terrible.
Cody.
And then suddenly he goes to Brooklyn.
That was 18 months ago.
Was it? Wait, what? No.
I don't.
No, it wasn't. I'm telling you. Anyway. He looks fine. Is what I'm trying to say.
Did you see the Mountain Dew commercial?
Cody, I don't like to fat shame people, but that boy's on kind of big right
man,
now, bro.
Bad angles, like the James Harden thing was a bad angle, and then suddenly he went in Brooklyn. It's like, oh, okay, he just looks.
The Mountain Dew commercial looked tough.
Yeah, well, see what I don't know if he had an agent. I was just watching that commercial yesterday, thinking the same thing. I was like. I think I would be like, can you have the camera like above me or like, why do you got?
I'm telling you, you watch.
Well, who else?
Was, for the first
who,
practice,
who else,
man?
Who
I'm
else was in it? It was Zach LaVine,
well,
right?
Zach LaVine.
So Zach LaVine.
Chiseled.
He looked fine. He looked fine. And then you pan to like Zion, and it's like it looks like that's probably
and then
what
they're
he
drinking that, Mountain Dew.
That's like
bro.
What he was
the
doing.
The camera
like,
adds 10 pounds. It's the first
he's
thing
like,
you learn.
He's all off season. I sat right here
drinking Mountain Dew,
chugging Mountain Dew Code Red, and playing video games.
Sponsored by Dunkin' Donuts. As
watch,
well.
we're gonna get that picture of him. Remember, right before the season resumed, where he was just absolutely ripped. Give it a month. We're gonna see the same.
I'm on. Again, I've said it for 4 or 5 episodes straight now. I'm still on Team Zion. There's a lot of red flags. He is not at an optimal playing weight, not even close, if you really like look at how he looks recently. But you know what? This card is a beautiful card, too. I just want to be that guy. Just a small minor complaint. All the mock-ups of this logo man had him with his other picture like it is in his regular RPA, like about the dunk.
Yeah.
And then when I saw this card, I swear to God, it was a little jarring to me because I was like, That's a different photo.
It looks like he's shooting. Yeah,
he's shooting on there, but all the mock-ups have him like dunking, like his regular RPAs is like the dunking one.
Oh,
so
yeah.
When I first saw this logo, I was like, this is fake. Oh.
That'd be funny.
But I get it. Like Panini wanted to make the 101 special, right? So they did a different photo. So a little small critique of the logo, man. It's still a beautiful card.
Are we sure it's not fake?
We aren't. We're not sure. We don't know.
I mean, that would be crazy. That would be because you're right. Like it is a completely different photo. And
do they do that normally?
I don't.
Panini would have probably came out already if it was.
Yeah, I don't recall them doing that. But hey, you know, sometimes you gotta do weird and wacky things. So yep.
It's a completely different photo.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I would prefer the dunking photo.
That would have been sick.
Yeah, that's. I didn't even think about that. That's true. Yeah, the dunking photo.
You know,
cool.
It's funny when I first saw it, I couldn't pinpoint what the difference was out of the gate. I looked at the logo, man, and I'm all, what's wrong with the patch? There's something wrong with this card, and that's what it was.
Yep.
The photo was different.
Yep.
I'm trying to see if I can find the actual mock-up for our. Oh yeah, right here,
right there.
Oh yeah, so that would have been a lot better of a photo.
And that is what his regular RPA looks like.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean that more signifies his ability, right? That's what you when you think of. I mean, besides the Mountain Dew commercial, you think about that.
But Panini has had a lot of questionable photos of Zion. I'm sorry, Panini, you've put Zion in a lot of compromising positions on your cards. they have some funny photos of Zion, dude.
Oh, that's a custom card.
I think clearly we're going to need some Zion Mountain Dew auto relics coming up soon. That's what we're going to need.
But like I said before, like I don't know why he didn't like sit up or something. It'd be like if I did the whole show and I put my belly on the table, obviously I'm going to look bigger than I am, and I'm not a fit guy. But like he sat back, you know. Somebody should have said, "Hey, man, we got to get him sitting up," or put him next to Shaq. Have Shaq out there instead of Zach LaVine. I mean, it would have made the balance look
a little bit
better.
Bad angles.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, camera does add, in my case, 20, 30 pounds sometimes. So, but let's talk about a card that maybe Zion 8 is the Honus Wagner here. Looks like somebody took a bite out of it.
Every segment.
I got to add to it.
I know, but
add,
like every,
you know,
every segment.
Every segment.
Like we're like... We're going to get flagged, man. We're not even going to be...
Flagged for somebody biting a card? You know, you gotta be controversial at times, you know? That's what gets the clicks, you know? That's what gets the TikTok videos going. Anyways, T206 Honus Wagner. And if you also notice, look at the serial number of that card. It was the second card ever graded by PSA. 0000002.
It's also a 1 of 2.
That can be real.
It is.
It's a 1 of 2. There's the other.
So their business grading a half-eaten T102.
I guess so. T206.
1 of 2. There's the two of two somewhere floating around.
No, I mean like literally that's serial number 2 out of the whole.
Oh, I know. But I'm saying that like half the card's missing, so it's got to be somewhere else.
They didn't grade.
It could be like a puzzle. You collect them both.
Well, I mean, back in those days, you got to remember that was in a pack of cigarettes. So the person that probably they may have took off, like, here's an actual story that might have happened. They might have had a piece of gum in their mouth and they were like, "Hey, I'm about to have a cigarette. Well, what do I do with my gum? Well, I got this little advertisement and I'm going to tear a piece off and put my gum in the garbage." And then this lasted somewhere.
Or they like sparked it up to like light a couple.
That's
cigarettes.
That's true. They could have done that too. Either way, for you guys that are listening to the audio version of this podcast, there's the famous Honus Wagner, but it's, what would you guys say, about 60% of it? It's like kind of ripped in the middle. You could still see Honus's head.
It's got the main part. Main part still intact.
You can tell it's an Honus Wagner.
It's about 60%, yeah.
At the very
60% there.
I would still, I mean... Is the I don't know where it's at. Is it at auction and golden? Or
I believe
it's
on golden. Yes, the base the it's starting at $25,000 minimum.
I would absolutely buy it for $25,000. Would you?
No.
No,
dude, it's missing.
It doesn't matter. They didn't make
the other piece for $25,000.
I know. I know. But
$50,000 Honus Wagner card. That's a bargain.
It's like real fractional cards.
It is actually. man, I
would absolutely have that. I mean, that is. For
you
one,
have it because of the card or yes, because of yes. what it is for PSA just, as a company?
Just the card because it's Honus, the story, and I'm sure a lot of you have heard this, but I'll say it again, is the Honus was a big proponent against tobacco. So when they made the cards, he was like, wait a second, I didn't know you were putting it in tobacco. I don't want my cards in there. So very few of his cards made it through before they decided to destroy the rest of them. So that's the whole lore behind the Honus Wagner card is that there was never many of them out there. And then most people, like I said, probably threw them away or you know, they didn't think anything of it. So just to be able to have, I mean, I'd probably just pay for like just the part. I mean, I'd pay for 20% of the card, not 25K, but just to have a piece of a Honus Wagner card is pretty cool.
Crack it out and then cut it up and do relics with it.
Yep.
Yeah. I would buy it just for I would actually buy it for the PSA part.
There's in the second one.
The fact that it's the second card ever graded or looked at by PSA.
What was the first card?
I know. We got to find out what 0000. Dude, like, 0001
they very well could have started on serial number 2. Cuz one could have been a test run.
That's true.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Like that This card is blowing my mind, not because it's half eaten. It's blowing my mind because it's the second one bought from PSA.
Yeah, and I wonder what year that was graded. I wonder if I have my
I'm gonna throw it out there. I'm gonna say 1997.
I would say 1993.
How many zeros are in that thing? Can somebody count for me? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Too far for
6,
me.
7.
But while Doug's doing that, what does this card sell for? 15 years ago.
I said 93.
Probably still a lot, I would imagine.
I think it probably sells for like $3,000 to $4,000.
Yeah, I was gonna say maybe 5 at the most.
Like yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. The very weird.
From what I can find, I'm seeing Gretzky.
Yes.
The first one.
Yes, the same card. It's the Honus Wagner Gretzky card is the first one ever graded.
Okay.
The famous one. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say the date. It doesn't say when they graded it. But that's crazy. So their first two cards they ever graded were both Honus Wagner cards.
Kind of makes sense.
Is that why they're known as the vintage gods?
Yeah, that's absolutely it. Now, I don't know why there's PSA auction prices realized and there's a bunch of low... I don't know. That's something else. Neither here nor there. But yeah, the first card was the McNeil Gretzky, which I think I have a picture of somewhere in my phone because we went and saw in person. So I got to see. Obviously, that's verifiable.
Wasn't that card altered?
It was. Yeah, I think that one was altered as well.
This one is also altered.
And well, just they didn't grade it; just put genuine
in a completely different way.
Which I don't think they do genuine anymore. They would say authentic, right? So they don't even put. That's old terminology that they used. But Cody put some other slides of some just badly graded cards. There's a 1990-91 Panini sticker of Michael Jordan, which looks like maybe somebody spilled some coffee on it and then ripped out part of the card. Sold for $400. A PSA 1 Willie Mays?
Yes, PSA 1, clearly creased in multiple spots, still $2,400.
That's what if to answer your question, if we're going to ask, would you pay for damaged cards, only vintage baseball?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I know there's been some people that have been cute and they took like a Zion Prism and they try to get a 1 on the grade just to be like, haha, I'm funny.
No, well, and they can go pop 1.
Yeah, pop 1. Yeah.
Well, I bet they don't want to do that right now at $200 a card.
No, yeah, exactly. Which we thought we were going to have an update on PSA opening up their Express, their $50 service. I don't think that's happened yet, so maybe soon, because I think
probably next year.
There's definitely a no. I think it was supposed to have happened.
Christmas gift.
CEO did mention that it was supposed to happen in the coming days. I saw some things online saying it could happen as soon as today, December 1st. But going on the website, there was really no indication.
And they did something that from what I could tell, and I didn't do a lot of research before I'm talking about it now, but it sounds like they're going to have inventory and they're going to allocate a certain amount of those grades per month. So which will help. Right. So that's smart. So they're going to allow like 3,000 of the $50 service per month. So you're going to have to be one of the first ones or whatever time they decide to do it. If you don't get it in time, then you don't get it that month. You got to try it again next month. So that way that they don't get backlogged again. Cause before it was just like, just send everything in and we don't know how much is coming in. We'll take it all.
So they'll be able to tell you as you're doing the submission process on their site.
That's what I'm assuming. I'm assuming they're all going to have to be done through their website, and it probably won't let you go any further and submit if they're done for the month. That's what I'm assuming.
That's smart.
So, I think that's the right way to do it because you can't just let a million cards come in a month. It's just you're never going to be able to prepare for that and get those out the door in a timely manner. So,
well, there's a lot of people holding on to LaMelo just waiting for the time. You know the influx of LaMelo Prism base cards. is going to be insane.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. We'll see those pop reports just jump up.
Then again, I will just go on the other side here. You know, people have seen what a PSA 10 looks like, so and that's the reason why raw cards are selling for a decent amount, because the centering on Prism is really, really tough. So a lot of people that do have raw cards, we are going to see a lot of submissions at the $50 level, but maybe not as much as we think, because the centering is really bad on a lot of Prism cards this year.
Absolutely. Well, I know you got to get to some breaks, so that's all we got for today's hype. We also have a great video that me and Cody just did that's going to be coming out here soon, so check back. We opened up 4 boxes of Leaf 2021 Pop Century, and there's a giveaway attached to that as well. You got a chance of winning some cool stuff on that video. We had a lot of fun doing it. It's, you know, kind of breaks from the norm of your sports. You kind of throw some celebrity and music, and it's very cool. So check out that video here on Mojobreg Media, and jump on that Evan Vandenberg Dibs.io podcast we did, and get yourself a free frack pack from them, which is an awesome concept. And we'll see you guys next week on Hype 217. Peace.